Scene 1. This is how it's been since Belena first felt that presence 10 days ago. The moment one of the yellows feels like she's got it, she lets it slip away like a bleeder's bar. No matter what they do, they cannot lock on to that vibration. Why is that? I'll tell you why. It's because this is not a problem the yellow sash can solve. We need another solution, Mater, and we need it quickly. The woman was Larka Dax Amanis, a native of the coastal city of Bremen. She had the pale green complexion of her people and a small, wiry frame with a musculature which gave her a rather masculine aspect, especially when she was clad in her short-sleeved, tight Bremenese tunic during physical training. Her hair, which was short except for a longish braid in the back which pointed straight up and fanned like a faddock's tail, gave her a most unwelcoming aspect. But then, she did not need to be welcoming as Perfecta Militis and leader of the red-sashed warriors assembly. Belena Mani listened patiently, patting her yellow sash, the mark of her status as Perfecta Philosophus and leader of the Seekers assembly. Belena was from East Amalur, the Magna Mater's hometown, a fact that often irritated Larka. But Belena had a strange mix of traits which the red sash was fond of pointing out when she had the occasion. Belena was tall and pale, as were most Amalurians, but with the short torso of Yurleans and a long nose of Pargani. When Larka quieted, Belena replied without hiding her frustration with the woman. "Thank you for reminding me of our difficulties, Larka. You are right. Despite our best efforts, we have not been able to identify the source of this dark presence in the bind. But the two reds who have also felt the vibration have done no better, might I remind you?" That brought an ugly frown on the small woman's already disagreeable, fatic face. It was a good thing Larka did not sit next to Belena, as proximity to the yellow sash might have caused her to react much more aggressively, though all Lux Bayule were expected to be in control at all times. Christiana decided to try and smooth Belena's mood by ignoring Larka's comment, and asked, "So what do you suggest, Belena?" "At this point, I've run out of ideas, Mater. No matter where we look or how we look, we fail to locate the cause of that strange and unsettling vibration." Scene 2. Young of the Walking. No response. "Young of the Walking, breathe you may." Upon receiving Flowing Water's second sending, Ithan relaxed, took a deep breath, and relaxed more. After a moment, he sent the image of himself facing down in front of the Locaris to thank him again. Then he sent the imagery for his question. "Flowing Water, do you know who the Temptatori are?" The Locaris sent a frustrated thought. "Ones I cannot know unless with the Locari they are connected or in your mind they reside already. But their vibrations I sense in the mountains, in the place where the river which flows to the south of your city begins." The prince made the connection. Kartak. Flowing Water continued. "There, plans they make for the evil which he wishes to bring upon our orb." Ithan sent urgently. "Flowing Water, you know of the one we call Bringer of Darkness?" "The Locari do not know of him. The Locari know him." Surprise and myriad questions painted the prince's face, wet and wrinkling as it was in the bubble within the water. Ithan also thought he felt the water around him pulse. He sent two questions. "Flowing Water, how do you know him, and why do you care for me, my kin, and my kind?" "A child to us your kind is, and among your kind you and your kin our care the most deserve. But the Locari do not wish to see your kin or your kind to the rackmole fall prey." The water around Ithan and the Locari vibrated and bubbled fiercely when Flowing Water sent that last thought. Ithan asked, Are you sending... And what is a racked mole? Scene 3. Christiana began, her powerful voice resonating through the plaza with a sad note. "Magna Catara, congregamur ut dare tibi sororibus nostris, eos qui mortui sunt tibi servandum, sorores nostris mentibus nunc nos ligare." The Magna Mater, the Prefecte, as well as the Kerpta Lux Bayula, now began entering the bind, while all the Alterentrants in attendance connected themselves to their leaders so they might witness the ascension from within the bind. The Magna Mater's, the Perfectae's, and the Kerpta's hearts slowed to the prescribed beat as they searched for each other in the ethereal world. The lub of the pumping muscles became louder and louder within the bind as the women found each other and their heartbeats synchronized themselves until, suddenly, the sound exploded through the plaza as one single repeating heartbeat. The auditory spectacle was augmented by a visual one just as wondrous, with the crackling and zapping of undulating scarves of blue light connecting Christiana to all the other Alterentrants, their hair stretching toward her and hers towards them. Gasps of pure astonishment and wonder spread through the courtyard among even the sisters. The shimmering from within the bind began to manifest itself around the flaming suns, and a wondrous pattern of purple and blue and yellow hues appeared around the spinning spheres. The filaments of light now stretched towards the Magna Mater, the assembly heads, and Kerpta, and from them onward to the bodies of the fallen. Everyone looked on in anticipation of the ascension, a rare event given the long lives of Lux Baiulae and the infrequency of violent deaths, when the Magna Mater started slowly spreading her arms open, followed by Sara and Romola Lux Baiulae, the heads of the sachets to which the deceased belonged. As the three women continued to open their arms, Dalima and Juliana's bodies began to shimmer, and the most amazing song arose suddenly from the throats of a group of juniors standing on the steps of the Elevation Chapel. The guttural chant moved from sustained graves to gut-wrenching, unending crescendos, all in synchrony with the red and blue flames surrounding the spheres, and with the shimmering light which rose from the bodies of the dead. When the song reached its apex, the dead disintegrated themselves with an explosion of light which flowed into the spheres behind them at an ever-increasing rate. Just then, Christiana, Sara, and Romola, as well as Larka and Belena, began shouting, Dalima Lux Baiula, Intrajunctionum, Juliana Lux Baiula, Intrajunctionum. They repeated the incantation, which was picked up by the onlookers, until the bodies completed their transmutation and the last particles of light left the Lacora beds to enter the bind through the flaming suns. The juniors now brought their song to a sudden end, thus marking the completion of the sisters' transmutation.